Our state capitol report continues in this half hour with Republican State Senator Dale Schultz and an opportunity for you to talk with him about why he has decided he will not seek another term in the state legislature. And we'll also talk with him about what he thinks about Wisconsin's current political climate. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Monday, February 3rd. If you have a question or a comment for Senator Schultz, please call 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Dale Schultz is a Republican state senator from Richland Center. He has served for nearly 32 years in the state legislature, 22 of those years as a state senator representing Wisconsin's 17th district. He was also the Republican majority leader in the state Senate about 10 years ago. He announced last week that he is going to retire from politics. Senator Schultz, good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thank you so much for being with us. So you say that the Tea Party is what's pulling you away from the Republican Party. Is the Tea Party the reason why you're retiring?
Well, it's part of the reason, and I wouldn't kid anybody about that. A lot of it is just 32 years of, raising heck and being gone from my wife and family has, taken a toll on me, and it's also made me realize after all these years that, it's time for me to spend a little more time catering to both my wife and my two girls. But there's no question about it that this mean-spirited, angry, in many cases ginned-up voice in the legislature is wearing. And, there are many good people who could refer to themselves as Tea Party types, but by and large what we're talking about, or what I'm talking about, is just sort of this shrill appealing to the worst in people that's ginned up by special interests. I got up this morning and I heard that there's some new group has been created and they're running ads, very, benign sounding name like the Homeowners Association or something. And it's to push the governor's tax cut plan. And, it's gotten to the point where I don't really believe that that group is my constituents, because I'm pretty good and pretty consistent about getting out and talking to my constituents. I'm not saying for a moment there aren't people out there who like the governor's tax cut plan, but it's absolutely clear to me from going around my district that most people, when given an opportunity without advance information or given both sides of the issue, will say, pay off the structural deficit, pay off our bills, save a little money for a rainy day. We're tired of crisis government. And, oh, by the way, if you have any money left over, how about putting it into our schools or our roads? Most people, though, are saying, look, it's an election year. Don't think we don't see what's going on here. What we really want is just get rid of the debt. And so when I see radio commercials beginning to start, or robo emails with the same subject line coming into my office, it's pretty clear to me that somebody with a lot of money or a group with a lot of money is trying to convince people of an action that is really what they want, but is being resisted by others.
Yeah. Had you decided to run for another term, you would have faced a well-funded opponent in Republican state representative from Spring Green, Howard Markline. How big a factor was that in your decision to retire?
Not a great amount. I watched my colleague Lee Nerrison to the north and west of me fend off $800,000 spent an election or two ago by the teachers union that was mad at him. The reason that he did well is that he's a well-known guy who gets around his district. He's been there a while, and as a result, he's had the opportunity to get to know his constituents. Why did somebody like Luther Olson survive a $7.2 million recall. Second most expensive, only exceeded by the recall against Alberta Darling. Well, again, I think he's been there a long time. People knew who he is. I think that the money would have made it messy, but I didn't really particularly worry about it.
Yeah. So what specifically is the Tea Party doing to pick at the scab of the Great Recession, to use your words?
Well, it's not really the Tea Party. It's these this whole subculture of bloggers who sit around the kitchen table before they shave in the morning and sort of vent in an angry sort of way. It's this industry of professional consultants who sits down and takes a look at who's hurting and then finds a way to sort of blow in their ear these sort of just sick messages. They do it on talk radio quite often, and it's not very intelligent, but it is effective. Some of it's quite entertaining. But the common theme usually is it is really mean-spirited, and it appeals to, prejudices that we all have that we try to repress as we go about our daily life and try to do the right thing.
Yeah. So, why not stick around and try to fight an influence in politics that you think is so destructive?
Well, Joy, I've said this many times during the last week. I'm going to be around for another 11 months. Let's remember that. And I have learned from the time before I was involved in the state legislature, because I've been doing politics since I was 12 years old, and I have been working with people during the whole time I have been in office who are wonderful, passionate people who give of themselves and make a difference. And knowing that, I realize it's not necessary to have SEN or REP in front of your name to make a difference. And it's just simply one of those cases where it's time to pass the torch to somebody who can capture the public's attention and continue fighting for the kinds of things that every Wisconsinite wants. And it's just time.
What are your priorities for the rest of your remaining term?
Well, Joy, I have put together what I call the 4 for 14. And I did this because I wanted my constituents to know that this next year of the legislature, I was going to continue to work on issues that were important to them with all the energy I had right up to the last day. Mining has been a central part of my life. Never really planned it that way the last few years, and I think mining will continue to be a big part of my life. In fact, I think it's going to become a big part of everybody's life in Wisconsin as the oil boom means more and more fracking in Wisconsin. So ferrous mining, sand mining, other kinds of mining are going to be a key issue, and I want to use this next year to talk about that, engage people in a way that has them thinking. It kind of surprises me that listening to my constituents, just how much passion there is around this issue, and people keep saying to me, Dale, why is it that we're so vital to the oil industry that we don't tax or take a royalty on the sand we ship out of this state, when those states we ship it to or those countries we ship it to are taking a royalty for the oil they send us or the LP they send us. And I expect this to be an issue. I expect groundwater to be an issue. So I intend to be engaged there. We have a real problem with jobs in this state, and I was a very early supporter of Governor Walker's goal to get to 250,000 jobs. I'm going to keep fighting for that goal right up to the end of this session, and I know it doesn't perhaps look as promising as it once did, but it is something that I know Wisconsinites really need, and I'm not going to abandon ship on that goal. Along with that, we need to understand that there's a very real problem with poverty in our state, and I'm going to keep fighting for that. And, you know, a real relief for that, and that's critically important to the next thing that I want to speak about and be active on, which is just the state of public education, particularly this sort of demonization of anybody connected to education. And let me be clear. I believe it is fair to challenge educators. I think it's fair to challenge each and every one of us in our daily lives. But we have had generations of Wisconsinites who have built one of the finest educational systems in the world. And I think just trashing it and demonizing the professionals that serve us doesn't improve education. And again, I think just tears at the fabric of our society. And then finally, the final issue is redistricting. Again, I just fundamentally believe there's something wrong when politicians pick their constituents rather than the constituents picking their politicians or their representatives. And when we're able to do that, it fosters extremism.
We are talking with Dale Schultz, Republican State Senator from Richland Center, about his decision to not seek re-election this year. We are also talking about his priorities for the remainder of his term and talking about the state of Wisconsin politics. And we're welcoming your reactions for Senator Schultz. We're welcoming your questions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network. This is our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine talking with retiring Republican State Senator Dale Schultz and giving you an opportunity to talk with him about his decision to not seek another term in the state legislature. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. And we'll get to your questions in just a moment. But you talked a little bit about mining. I think it might have been a different kind of mining. But you did upset many Republicans by voting against the mining bill for the iron ore mine in northern Wisconsin, voting against Act 10 changes. Looking back, do you have any regrets about aligning with Democrats on those issues, Senator Schultz?
Absolutely not. From the day I ran for this office, I had it in my mind that I was going to represent all the people, and I will never apologize for that. I listen relatively well. I've worked at it over the years. And I know where my constituents are at, and one of the things they tell me is to examine the issues and to do the right thing. And it was clear to me on the subject of mining, for example, that the bill that the lobbyists and the industry wrote was going to not create any jobs because the Army Corps of Engineers was likely to decouple. I knew that because they just plain told us that, and of course now they have done that. I also believe that it was just a bad bill environmentally, and water is the most precious resource on this planet of ours. And when you have 10% of all the fresh water in the world in Lake Superior and over 40% of the wetland serving that body of fresh water in the Bad River watershed in the Pinokies, we have to be not less careful. We have to be more careful. And we didn't do the right thing there. I think people are increasingly understanding that. The department released over 100 pages of a report talking about the things that they had to be concerned about, and the same industry that told us, trust the professionals at the DNR, even if they don't have the laws they had before, they will do the right thing, suddenly was attacking the Department of Natural Resources for even identifying these issues. And that just makes me realize more that these people will keep taking as much as they can, trying to lessen their obligations. That's not in the interest of Wisconsin, and I think I know that. Many people I know that. We just have to keep pointing that out.
Well, and speaking of the mining, I asked you about Act 10 as well, but your retirement comes on the heels of Senator Bob Jauch and Tim Cullen, who you reached across the aisle to work with on an alternative mining bill. What's the future of bipartisanship in the state Senate without the three of you?
Well, I think there's a tendency for legislators, particularly in our society, to think perhaps that the world will end if they're not there or the world revolves around them. And I've lived long enough to know that that's simply not the case. I also am well aware that there's some really talented people out there who have the capacity to lead. They just need the opportunity. And Janet Brewerly from up there, the state assemblywoman, is one of those people, and she is able, capable, has the energy, and I look forward to watching and assisting from the sidelines, and there are many other people like that as well in both political parties, and we have an election. We can send people to Madison who will do that. I oftentimes say politicians will follow the public, and if the public gets passionate about having legislators who not only say they're bipartisan but show leadership, politicians will be scrambling to get in front of the parade. But I wanted to use this opportunity before we got too far along, Joy, to make a little news, if that's okay.
Please do.
Next Monday at 10, Tim Cullen and I are going to have a public meeting in 411 South on redistricting, where we are going to be inviting some folks who have experience with the redistricting reform to talk to us. And if there's a listener out there who is concerned about this issue and sort of wants to be a part of it, it'll be on Wisconsin Eye, I am sure, and or they're welcome to come to the Capitol. We have 11 months to get a hearing on this bill, potentially get a vote and get it passed. That won't happen unless people start loudly and clearly saying to the legislators in Madison, to our governor, they want change. And it's been having an effect. I understand the governor is in Beloit and said he would sign such a bill if it got to his desk. That's heartening. It would be even more heartening if the governor would say publicly that he wants that bill and is going to push legislators to do it. And I have a lot of hope. And, again, it's about we, not just me or Tim Cullen, and that's the important thing to remember.
Why is it so important to have some sort of nonpartisan commission redraw legislative boundaries? Why is that so important, Senator Schultz?
Well, because when we do that, we get more competitive races. And that means the process tends to drift towards the center rather than the fringes. People, in order to have their political party in power, need to play in those competitive races so they adopt policies or policy goals for the party that are really more mainstream. And I think that's the biggest reason. These days we just see people only concerned about primaries, and that really empowers very small groups of people with very extreme agendas. And this is true in both political parties. There are good people in both political parties, but this redistricting thing is a trap, just as the removal of Citizens United helps create a trap for legislators who go to Madison or Washington, D.C.
Let me share Rebecca on Facebook's comment. She says, I am not in your district, nor am I a Republican, but I was impressed to see you stand up to the rest of your party. I would hate to see Senator Schultz replaced by another Tea Party candidate. Are you, Senator Schultz, going to endorse the Republican candidate in your district for your seat?
Well, it's a great question, Joy, and the answer is no, I'm not. And the reason I am not going to is because Howard Markline, when he announced that he was going to primary me after one term in office, and I guess one term in 2 weeks, he made it clear the reasons were my vote on Act 10 and on mining. We've talked a little bit about mining. Let me just say with respect to Act 10, my concern is, and it's been largely played out the way I thought it would, that that act would deeply divide this state and force us into positions that made progress on almost anything very, very difficult. And And I don't think there's any question it has done that. And it's like a lot of other labor disputes. I suspect it's going to linger for more than a generation. And there was a way to achieve the financial goals that the governor put forth as the reason for doing this without deeply dividing people, leaving people with their dignity. I offered that, as I think virtually anybody who's watched that process knows. And contrary to what one of my colleagues said, 3 days a week at most, it'll all be over. It's something we're going to live with for decades to come.
Darcy and Richland Center, we're almost out of time because I was hogging it, but go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to thank Dale for all that he has done for our state. I haven't always agreed with everything that he's voted on, but I always thought that he listened to people. And I think most people really do respect him. Some of the unkind things that were said to him, I hope he just forgets about those and remembers that most people really did respect him, and we feel that he's a loss, that he's not going to run again. Thank you, and I'll take my response off the air.
Yeah, and we only have 30 seconds for a response, Senator Schultz.
Well, Joy, let me just say in response to that, that those are very kind words, and they mean a very great deal to me. And I have been just humbled by the calls, letters, emails, and just personal face-to-face conversations I've had since I made the announcement. It's just hard to put into words what it has meant to me, and I just wish every listener the best in the future. I'm going to try to be of service to this state, and it has just been an honor.
Well, it's been an honor to have you on the show again today. We will follow the issues that you are going to be working on in the remainder of your term, including the redistricting reform coming up. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
Dale Schultz, Republican State Senator from Richland Center. Thanks to Bill Martins, Christy Taylor, and Robin Cherry for producing the program. This is the Ideas Network.